Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Margaret McCall, you're listening to Business Life Works, the show that guides you and coaches you on using the harmonic matching process to create a fulfilling life. Today, we're going to be speaking to Rhonda Chadwick. The topic is five things we need to know about digital preservation. And let me give you a little bit of information about why we're talking about this, and then I'll bring Rhonda on to talk with you more. For the first generation who grew up with cell phones, the internet, and digital cameras, the word photo invokes a collection of pixels rather than a physical object. It's said that the internet is forever, but are those digital memories truly safe? That is a very big question. Professional archivist Rhonda Chadwick reveals why storing and ignoring can lead to a complete loss of digital content and what we need to do to protect our cherished photos. She's going to discuss with us today why some file formats are better than others and how to guard against corporations pulling the plug on our digital storage, and also why we need to disaster-proof our photo collections and more. Rhonda is the author of Secrets from the Stacks, an archivist reveals how to store, digitize, and preserve documents to create a family archive and leave a personal legacy. But keep in mind, we can also use this with our small businesses, our nonprofits, or our special projects. It isn't strictly just for families. This is for projects as well. Rhonda holds a master's degree in library science. As a trained archivist, she has worked at numerous libraries, archives, and museums throughout southern New England. She's the owner of a personal history business named after her grandmother and great-grandmother called Lena Selina Legacy Preservation. I love that. The mission of Lena Selina is to teach people about long-term preservation and storage. She gives library lectures throughout New England, teaching patrons how to store material items such as photographs, books, and textiles, and how to create a digital legacy, how to organize materials for better retrieval, and finding creative ways of telling personal stories. Thank you, Rhonda. I want to thank you so much for being on my show today. Rhonda Chadwick, appreciate you being here. What state are you calling in from, Rhonda?
I'm in Rhode Island.
Okay, you're on the East Coast with me. That sounds great. You should be having beautiful weather this time of year.
Yeah, it's getting there. It's still a little bit cool, but it is starting to warm up a little bit.
Well, that sounds good. Well, I am grateful to have you here today. First, my first question for you is, how did you get interested in this topic? Was it just simply through your work, or were you interested in this topic and then it led you to your work?
Well, you know, I'd like to say, you know, you mentioned that everything that I'm doing is applicable also to businesses, and I actually had a bookkeeping service for many, many years, and that's my original background is in accounting, and I started my first business when I was 26, and all my clients, when I had my bookkeeping service, were small businesses, and I may at some point take my book and tweak it specifically, because I know what documents businesses need to keep specifically, because I worked in the field for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But I always wanted to be a librarian, And when I went to college later in life, and I was working in the library, I worked in different departments, and one of the departments was the special collections. And I decided that was where I wanted to be. So eventually I was able to go to grad school and get my master's degree, and so I focused on archives instead of just, you know, regular library work.
Okay. Interesting. So you learned a lot through that process and then go for it?
Well, when I was going through my program, of course, I was older and I had stuff already. And, you know, my thought was, wow, everybody should know this. Like, we have the things that we have personally are important to us as well. And many of us have things that have been passed down. And so I kept having that thought. And so eventually I just morphed into doing this.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, this whole thing of things being passed down, I have an old quilt that my grandmother had made, had handmade, and then, of course, hand-stitched, embroidered. She called it a memorial quilt. So different family members who had passed, she put their names and she put some kind of a picture next to their name to indicate what they were known for or something they might want to be remembered by. And wow. I have it in a box, and I literally, I mean, I'm just trying to keep it out of the light and out of heat. And I don't know what to do with that. I mean, it's beautiful. I'd love to have it hanging, yes. But I need to make sure if I do that, I do it properly so that it's protected and preserved. And if I don't hang it on a wall, I also need to make sure I've done that properly. So what do you recommend for somebody like in that situation? Who would I contact? How would I go about this?
Well, preserving it? My book.
And there you go. Yes.
I have a chapter on textiles, and wow, what a lovely item to have. That is really special. And
yeah.
I understand why you would really want to take care of that. I think one of the things I would do is take a picture of it. You know, take a digital picture just in the event something happens. You at mm-hmm. least have the content. And, you know, you'll have the you know, you'll be able to see the intricate work that she did and have the memories of all those people. So that's one of the things I would do. In terms of the textiles, you know, one of the most important things we can do for all our collections is put them in a good environment. So you want to make sure the humidity is around 50 to 55% and that the temperature is around 68. Now,
okay.
You know, the general rule of thumb is if it's comfortable for us, it'll be comfortable for our collections. There are, you know, some granularity you can get with that, but that's kind of the rule of thumb. With materials like fabric, the place at which it's going to deteriorate is on a crease. So you don't want to have any creases with a quilt. Now, quilts, they do have tubes that you can roll it on. You could roll it and then put it in a big, long box, and that would really be the best way for something like that. But displaying it on the wall, you absolutely can do that. You could, like what they do in museums, and I do talk about this in my book also, there's a way of stitching it so that you don't damage the fabric, and you could hang it on the wall. Now, it will be exposed to light, and so there will be some fading. You need to be aware of that. But what
right.
you want to do is you want to have it on a wall that's not going to get direct sunlight. You know, putting something in the north side of your house as opposed to the south side is better, or the east side, right? So where it's not getting the direct sun, keeping the blinds down if you can or when you can. So, you know, you want to be kind of thinking of things like that. And I think if you digitize it, then, like I said, even if you do have a little bit of fading that happens over time, then you'll have the content of what was on there to begin with.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. That's a very good point. Can't you use a certain special glass to cover the quilt so that, or whatever it is you're preserving, to keep that sunlight out or not?
Yes, you can. They have, well, a quilt, I mean, you know, it's a pretty big item usually. There is UV framing that you can get. There are curtains that you can get for your windows that will help block the UV. And there are actually windows on your house, if you want to take that step, that you can use that will block the UV. And, yes, you want to do that as much as possible. And you also want to be thinking about incandescent light, because those will also emit some UV rays as well. Mm-hmm. And the bigger thing, too, with textiles is dust and bugs. So we want to make sure, usually if it's clean, it's going to be okay. But if you did hang it on the wall, or, I mean, if you have it framed, that would be awesome, especially with the UV. But it and it should be okay. But if you didn't have it framed and you were just hanging it free, you want to check it every now and then. Just make sure that nothing has gotten into it.
Right. Did you say cleaned? Like have it cleaned? Is that the word you used?
Well, I would be a little bit careful of cleaning it, because especially a quilt, you're going to have so many different types of fabric. But you do want to have it as clean as possible. Like, if you're going to handle it, you want to wear gloves with anything material, because it's the oils in your hands. A lot of times, like, when people have wedding dresses in particular, it's what's going to attract the bugs isn't the fabric so much as it's going to be what's on the fabric, like oils from your hands or food that got deposited and not taken off. And so anything like that, like uniforms and stuff like that, that's what you have to be careful of with the bugs. But if you keep it in a good temperature and you have it in a good box, that ramps up the possibility that it's going to, you know, not have bugs. You don't want to put things in your basement or your attic. You really, especially something like that, you want it on your living area. That's the clean part of your house, right? And you do want to check it on occasion. You know, the thing with attics tend to be very hot and humid, and they do attract bugs because nobody's there. And the same thing with our basements tend to be humid as well, and they're also subject to flooding from pipes above or, you know, below. So you want to, you know, you don't want to put things in the basement either.
Right. That's a very good point. Absolutely. There's so much to think about, and people are living such busy, busy lives. And to stop, I guess that's a question for you, you know, to stop and pause and think about the things that you want to preserve, and then to make a plan to do that so it doesn't just slip up and then the next generation is trying to figure out, well, who did this belong to? And I know it meant a lot to my mother, but I don't know who in the family had it or created this picture, or, you know what I mean? It's easy to, like, slip up on all this and not make it a priority. And I think we do need to reserve some time, you know, to look at all this and then decide, what do I want to keep? So how do you suggest people even approaching the subject of what do I want to keep, besides from photos, you know, what other things maybe were passed down or that we want to pass to other generations? What kind of plan should we make?
Well, one of the things I talk about in the first chapter of my book is exactly that. What makes a family archive and what belongs in it? It's not everything. You know, there was a woman who wrote an article for the New York Times, and she said, the millennials don't want the baby boomer stuff. And I actually agree with her. There's a lot of our stuff they don't want. But there are specific things, birth certificates, death certificates, any kind of legal things, you know, and depending on what your interests are, if, you know, you're an athlete, there might be things related to that. Your grandmother, I know, was a quilter, so it could be things related to that, you know, her interest in that. Maybe she belonged to a quilt group or, you know, things like that. Things that tell the story of your family. So vetting is a big part of it. And another thing I talk about is, you know, in the archives, the first thing we do is when we get a collection, and especially a big collection, and I worked on a couple of really, really big collections, and the first thing we did was a survey. And so just open all the boxes, look at everything. Now, I think for individuals, a survey is a little bit different because we don't have everything in boxes, you know, that was just dropped off. It's like you have stuff on your shelves, stuff on your walls, some stuff in your closet. You know, you have things all over the place. But do that survey and think about what it is that you want to put in your archive. And I show how to do this in my book, where you want to have, I always put the date that I do the survey, although that's not necessary. But, you know, you want to say what it is, where it comes from, like who it belonged to, and what condition it's in. Because, you know, in the professional archives, if you have a big, huge collection, it might take you a year or two to finish it. And I think for individuals, the same is true. Like you said, we're very busy. And life has a way of throwing us curveballs. You know, you have good intentions, you stop, boom, then you get thrown off. So if you have that survey, which should really only take you maybe a day or a few hours, it's not going to take you a long time, just to write down, this is it, this is over here, then you can be working off of that. And in 2 years, when you're starting to finish your project, you have those notes that you took when you first originally did it. Now, in terms of our time, and I will say, my archive is not done. I'm still in process with it. Mm. And what I like to do is I like to take Tuesday evenings, because I find like Tuesday evening is like a boring night. It's not the night of the week that, you know, you go out to dinner with your friends, or you, if you belong to some kind of organization, they don't usually meet on Monday or Tuesday nights. And so Tuesday is kind of most likely to not have anything to do. And mm-hmm. so just once a week, and it does take discipline, once a week, set aside that time, this is the time I'm going to work on my archive. And eventually, it'll get done.
Mm, that's a good point. I mean, just like you said, reserving a day, reserving the time to do it, and otherwise, if you don't, I think it just won't get done, at least for me. I'd have to do it that way. Probably most people would have to do it that way, for sure.
I think so, yes. And even people who are retired, I think a lot of people start this in their retirement. You know, just take one day. And, you know, when we're talking about stuff, let's not forget about the digital stuff. You know, that's the other part that you would need to put on your survey. What computers you have, what backup disks you have, what's where, what to keep. It's a lot of it is just a cleaning organizational project.
Right. And unfortunately, I didn't get to read your book before I learned of your material. I just learned of your material in your book yesterday, and I was so happy you could be on my show today. The question I have is, in your book, do you have kind of a list for people to think about, kind of a checklist for them to prompt, have little prompts to think, did I consider this, did I consider that, are these things I need to preserve?
Yes, that's that list I said. You know, you like what goes into an archive, it's not everything. And really, we want to be thinking, like in the archives, what we say is we preserve things that have enduring value. And so we're thinking of enduring value of your family. So, you know, when we're thinking of pictures, because I think photographs are one of the biggest parts of people's collections. And, you know, you want to include the pictures of, you know, of course the weddings and major events like that, but also the holidays and, you know, things that tell the story of your family. So, not the cute duck on the pond. Like, nobody really cares about that. We want to be thinking about... And the other thing I do, you know, a lot of people that come to my library lectures, they'll say to me, my children or my grandchildren are not interested in my stuff.
Right.
And my response is always, were you? Like, were you, when you're in your 20s and 30s, you're busy, you're, you know, building your family, you're having children, you're buying a home, you're building your career. So, and there's always a gatekeeper, which is probably you, you know. You're the gatekeeper, and they think, oh, you know, my mother knows that stuff, my father knows that stuff. I don't, that if I ever have a question about it, I'll just ask them. And
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times it's when people are graveside that they have that, oh, no, moment, like, oh, no, I can't ask my mother ever again.
Right.
About that whatever, you know, that family story that she told me 80 times, and I still get the details wrong. So
right.
I think that people should ignore their children and their grandchildren and don't wait for them to give you the approval. Just do it. But what I also
think... That makes sense to me, yes. Yes, exactly. Well, it would be very therapeutic doing it no matter what. Just, you're kind of organizing aspects of your life, right? Putting things in order and having memories that are going to be important to you. We have to take a quick segment break. I just realized the time. We will be back in a moment. We're here today. We're speaking to Rhonda Chadwick about her book, Secrets from the Stack. Stay tuned. Be back in a moment.
Did you know that more than 54% of Americans fight with people close to them because of stress? That people with positive social relationships recover from illness faster? And that people who have a best friend at work are 7 times more likely to be engaged in their jobs? The Relationship Code teaches us to empower ourselves in all types of relationships with the new techniques and insights of the 4-step harmonic matching process. The harmonic process integrates psychology with universal principles to help people achieve their desires. In the Relationship Code, you'll learn to create positive self-fulfilling prophecies, communicate effectively, enhance relationships on the job, overcome everyday and long-term challenges, and develop extraordinary outcomes. Published by Career Press and available now, you can go to www.margaretmacraw.com or call 410-366-9111 to order the book. Are you interested in a board-certified coach training program specializing in the law of attraction? If so, become a board-certified life and business coach as well as a holistic health practitioner and help others live their dreams. If you're ready for a new and exciting career, you should visit www.tuneintolove.com to learn more about board-certified training programs specializing in the law of attraction. This could be perfect if you're one of those people that likes helping others. Do friends, family members, and colleagues come to you for advice? And are you good at helping others solve difficult problems? If so, this board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction could be just for you. Go to tuneintolove.com to find out more. You could be your own boss and working out of your own home with a very flexible schedule, in addition to the ability to make so much more money and have so much more free time. Visit www.tuneintolove.com and find out more about the board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction. Would you like to transcend patterns in your life that inhibit you from attracting true love? Begin creating strong, fulfilling relationships that are long-lasting. Margaret McCraw's book, Tune Into Love, can give you a positive start and an exciting new process for attracting the loving partner you seek. Tune Into Love will also teach you 4 essential steps for focusing your thoughts, emotions, and beliefs to create all of your desires. Learn how to sidestep the self-imposed roadblocks that hold you from fulfillment. In addition to attracting and creating a fulfilling relationship, Tune Into Love will show you how to attract better health, fulfilling careers, abundance of money, and harmony in all aspects of your life. Order your copy today at www.tuneintolove.com or call 877-366-9111 or visit the website tuneintolove.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
This
This is Margaret McCraw. You're listening to Business Life Works, produced by HealthyLife.net. We are here today talking with Rhonda Chadwick about her book, Secrets from the Stacks. An Archivist Reveals How to Store, Digitize, and Preserve Documents to Create a Family Archive and Leave a Personal Legacy. And I want to say to you, you can also do this for your projects, for your small business. Some people say to me, I don't have a family. It's just me. I'm the only one left. You can do this for the people who love you. You can do this for yourself. So, okay. So, Rhonda, before we go further, what's your website that you'd like to give our listeners so they can find you?
Oh, yes. It's lenaselina.com. So it's lenaselina.com.
Okay. Great. And I assume they can buy your book wherever books are sold, Amazon, your website, wherever?
Not on my website, but, yes, through Amazon or any of the online places.
Okay. Great. Perfect. Okay. So I have a question for you. How can people manage their personal things, the things that are most important to them, to avoid losing everything in either a flood, a fire, hurricane, tornado, things that we think are never going to happen to us, but sometimes they do happen?
Yes, absolutely. You know, we do live in the age of global warming, and I think that, you know, there's a really a relatively small percentage of the American public that is losing everything to these superstorms, but the rest of us stand on the sidelines, a little horrified, are we going to be next?
Right.
And so I think the most important thing that you can do, certainly with your photographs and your birth certificates, anything, any paper document, is to digitize them. And you can digitize in a number of ways. You can buy a flatbed scanner. I don't recommend the top-loading scanner because things can get stuck in that. But you can get a flatbed scanner and scan. It's not fun, but it is important. There are also apps these days that you can buy, download on your phone, and you can take a picture of a picture, and it will turn it into a JPEG. So that's the biggest thing you want to do with your photographs and those kinds of things. With other things, I think if you do have things stored in boxes and they're neatly put away, that ramps up the probability. And I think also if your archive is organized and it's in your closet and it's just a couple of boxes, it would be really easy to grab it and take it with you when you leave, you know, if you have to evacuate. Typically, like in the archives, we don't use plastic storage bins, but they do sell archival, and I would recommend archival, not Rubbermaid. Boxes that you could put things in that would protect them from water. There are certain things that do need to breathe a little bit, so I feel like you don't want to have it in the plastic all the time. But I think in the southern states, too, you may want to do that because, you know, the paper is just not sturdy enough. And certainly if you have a, you know, if you're having a hurricane or something like that, you know, in my book I tell the story of Phyllis Puglia, who was a woman on Staten Island who lost everything in the hurricane, Hurricane Sandy. And, you know, my vision for her is if she had everything, I mean, really, you know the hurricane's coming, throw it in a Rubbermaid bin and just use some duct tape. And so, because her stuff ended up a mile from her house. And, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen in a situation like that. So with other things like furniture and things like that, you can, like, tie it down with ropes. You know, I'm not sure I can have people save everything, but if you know what you have and where it is and you can grab it quickly, then that ramps up the possibility that you could actually save it.
Right. You know, I had a situation, this was probably 25 years ago, where my basement flooded, the hot water tank went up, and water went everywhere. And my mother's, who had passed on, her recipes were in a cardboard box. And they were handwritten recipes, things she had worked on for years and years. And it got soaked. I had to take each recipe out and try to separate it because it was all sticking together, of course. And, of course, the ink got smeared in most of the recipes, but tried to separate everything out and dry it out. And, you know, that was a long time ago. That was before people were using their iPhones or their cell phones to take pictures. And, you know, things were of a different time, a different era. But it is so important.
Yeah.
Think about these things.
Something like that. I have the same thing. I have a little thing with my mother's recipes handwritten, and I have already, I have PDFs of it. I scanned it, and I turned them into PDFs. So I do have that. But again, your perfect example why we don't want to put things in the basement. They flood all the time, and we don't want to do that.
Right. And, of course, some people don't have the space to put it in their living area. And maybe they have pets or small children who would destroy it, right?
Well, I think you really want to put it in a box in a closet. And, you know, when I do my library lectures, I bring my boxes with me. And, you know, because one of the things we need to be careful of, too, is pollution. And I think, Ian, I think also, like I said, you need to have this, you know, ideal temperature for your house. Now, in the archives, we have HVAC systems, but I think the biggest challenge for homeowners is maintaining a steady temperature because, you know, from the morning, the beginning of the morning until noontime, until evening, the fluctuation in temperature can be 30, 40 degrees. The humidity can be 20 to 30%, especially in the summertime. And that, those big fluctuations wear on your materials over time. So my recommendation is that if you have, like, photographs, if you have it in a photo album, they sell specific archival photo albums. If you have it in a plastic sheet, an archival plastic sheet, in a box, in a bigger box, in your closet, that's many layers of protection that one photograph has. And then again, if your photographs are digitized, if your paper photographs are digitized and you lose everything, you can just print them out again.
Okay. That's, of course, a good point. How about, you know, someone who has maybe 19th century photographs, should they remove them from the wooden cases that they're in? Is wood bad for a photograph?
No, well, for photographs, but really, like, if you have daguerreotypes and they've been put in that casing as soon as they were made, you definitely do not want to take them out. And if they're cracked, you should call a conservator to have them fix it for you.
Got it. We have to stop and take a break. We'll be back in just a moment, so stay tuned to Business Life Works.
Are you interested in a board-certified coach training program specializing in the law of attraction? If so, become a board-certified life and business coach, as well as a holistic health practitioner, and help others live their dreams. If you're ready for a new and exciting career, you should visit www.tuneintolove.com to learn more about board-certified training programs specializing in the law of attraction. This could be perfect if you're one of those people that likes helping others. Do friends, family members, and colleagues come to you for advice? And are you good at helping others solve difficult problems? If so, this board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction could be just for you. Go to tuneintolove.com to find out more. You could be your own boss and working out of your own home with a very flexible schedule, in addition to the ability to make so much more money and have so much more free time. Visit www.tuneintolove.com and find out more about the board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call EarthChannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
This is Margaret McCall, host of Business Life Works. We're here today talking with Rhonda Chadwick. Rhonda is the author of the book Secrets from the Stacks, and Archivist Reveals How to Store, Digitize, and Preserve Documents to create a family archive and leave a personal legacy. Okay, so Rhonda, let's get into some of the nitty-gritty about digital preservation. Why don't you just take off with that and guide us?
Right, so the tagline that I have is five key things millennials need to know about digital preservation.
Yeah.
And the first thing we need to know is that, you know, we're talking about material items, right? We've been talking about photographs and quilts and things like that. And you know what? You can store that away. You can put your photographs in new photo albums and, you know, get your quilt set up properly and just put it in the closet and ignore it, really. Check it every now and then. That is not true of the digital world. The digital world requires hardware and software functioning properly. Now, something I try to get people to think about also when they're doing, putting their archive together, like I was saying earlier, people say, oh, my children, my grandchildren aren't interested in this. What I like to get people to think about is the first person who will be born after the last person has known them directly has died. So, and I have a little formula for it. So if you were born in 1945 and you live for 100 years, you will die in 2045. If you have a grandchild that's 10 years old at the time you die, the grandchild will have been born in 2035. If that grandchild lives for 100 years, they will die in 2135. So I want people to think of the person that will be born in 2135, which I call baby 2135. So if you expand your mind to think of that, you know, to go that far into the future, the way you do things is going to be very different. The way you describe photographs is going to be very different, or like your mother's quilt and all those people that are mentioned in it. You're going to do it very differently for somebody born in 2135. And especially with the digital, if you're, you know, really gotten present to thinking that far into the future, how are you going to do things differently? So you'd have to keep that in mind. You can't just leave something on a hard drive and think that it's going to open in, you know, 20 years or 50 years.
Right.
Now, some file formats are better than others, and there are groups in the world who have gotten together and they have made decisions about what file formats are better. And I do have this information in my book, but you can also get it. The Library of Congress has a website for families, and it has all this information in it. So we want to save any kind of document in a PDF. Photographs, now a TIFF is like the best. It's uncompressed, but JPEGs are good for, like, regular people. I save my stuff in JPEG. But you don't want to save things in a Word document. You want to put it in PDF. And they have a version of PDF called PDF-A, which the A stands for archives. And that is what's called backwards compatible. So it's guaranteed that in 50 years you can open up something an older, like a higher version of PDF would be able to open that older version. JPEGs have also given some kind of guarantee that they're going to stay around for a while. You want to look for file formats that are run by like a consortium rather than a corporation.
Say that again. Say that again. I want to make sure I understand what you're saying.
So you want to have file formats that are being run. Like there's a suite of programs called OpenOffice. They're open, open access. They, you know, anybody can use it and for free. And that's also, it's ODT is their file format. You can use them to save things, and they're going to go into the future because it's not run by a corporation. It's run by a group that, like a nonprofit organization that has agreed to make the, this information available, to have these file formats be standard, and that they're not going to go away. They're not regulated by a business. You know, businesses can just pull the plug whenever they want, and they do. You know, they change things, and you have no control over it. But these, and these are international organizations that have made these decisions, and they've worked together with, you know, Library of Congress, Microsoft, Google. They've all gotten together and made decisions about some of these things. Adobe is another one. Adobe's made decisions, you know, we're going to make PDF-A backwards compatible so people can use it. So we really want to be looking for things like that. Now, the other thing that you need to know about the digital world is you should back up using what's called the 3-2-1 method. So three places, two local, one off-site. So, you know, you have your computer, or let's pretend you have a computer. Not everybody does these days. So your things would be on your computer. You would have a backup drive, maybe a thumb drive or something like that. And then the third one, I mean, you could give a thumb drive to a relative or something, not in your house. But the more practical thing to do is to have it online storage. And if you have Gmail or even Microsoft Drive, they give you online storage. So they give you some of it. Okay. There are also other services that you can pay for that are a little bit more secure than like the Microsoft or Google. Not that they're not secure, but there are other ones that are a little more secure. But you want to have it in three places because if you did have a fire in your house or a disaster or something and you lost both backups in your house, then you have it in the cloud as well. On the other hand,
right.
If something happens
right.
with the cloud, I feel like one of the things, like for the millennials, is that they tend to do everything in the cloud. And that's not good either because the cloud is a business. They're businesses. Google is a business. And
mm-hmm.
it's happened. There was Picasso was a digital photograph storage program that I think it was independent and then Google took it over and then they just pulled the plug. And so people who were using that, you're out of luck. It's gone. Disappears in a day. And you know, there are other stories about that happening. So I know for me, I've been using QuickBooks for decades. They won't let me use it on my desktop anymore. So I can't use the program. I have to either buy it, like pay a subscription. So they change. and we don't have control over them.
No, we don't. We have to take a quick break, but I definitely remember where we are with this, what we're stopping, because I want to finish the conversation. So stay tuned to Business Life Works. We are here today speaking with Rhonda Chadwick about digital storage and preservation. Be back in a moment.
Are you interested in a board-certified coach training program specializing in the law of attraction? If so, become a board-certified life and business coach, as well as a holistic health practitioner, and help others live their dreams. If you're ready for a new and exciting career, you should visit www.tuneintolove.com to learn more about board-certified training programs specializing in the law of attraction. This could be perfect if you're one of those people that likes helping others. Do friends, family members, and colleagues come to you for advice? And are you good at helping others solve difficult problems? If so, this board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction could be just for you. Go to tuneintolove.com to find out more. You could be your own boss and working out of your own home with a very flexible schedule, in addition to the ability to make so much more money and have so much more free time. Visit www.tuneintolove.com and find out more about the board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call EarthChannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Would you like to transcend patterns in your life that inhibit you from attracting true love? Begin creating strong, fulfilling relationships that are long-lasting. Margaret McCraw's book, Tune Into Love, can give you a positive start and an exciting new process for attracting the loving partner you seek. Tune Into Love will also teach you four essential steps for focusing your thoughts, emotions, and beliefs to create all of your desires. Learn how to sidestep the self-imposed roadblocks that hold you from fulfillment. In addition to attracting and creating a fulfilling relationship, Tune Into Love will show you how to attract better health, fulfilling careers, abundance of money, and harmony in all aspects of your life. Order your copy today at www.tuneintolove.com or call 877-366-9111 or visit the website TuneIntoLove.com.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
This is Margaret McCraw, host of Business Life Works. We're here today speaking with Rhonda Chadwick, my guest, and we're talking about her book, Secrets from the Stacks. An archivist reveals how to store, digitize, and preserve documents to create a family archive and leave a personal legacy. Please, you can find her book on Amazon or other major bookstores. And Rhonda, we were talking about digital preservation before we took our break. I do want to come back to this and talk a little bit more about this because it is so critical to us personally as well as business-wise. I know for me, I made a decision for the business and then personally as well to lease encrypted files for work and be able to have everything encrypted. So if we get hacked, we haven't really talked about hacking, but if we got hacked, and then also I pay extra for a backup vault. There's locations, five different locations throughout the country where things are stored. So if there's a disaster in one area, then the files are still stored in four other areas, correct? So
yes, that's correct.
And so I just work from that cloud for personally and professionally. You were just mentioning issues with working strictly from a personal level, but I found there were some issues when we were constantly backing up files into the cloud. It seemed cleaner to just work from the cloud. But again, I pay for a service where, and I have a business agreement where there's five locations where all my files are kept and can be accessed. Does that seem like an issue to you, to work from the cloud knowing that everything is backed up in different locations?
No, I think that's actually good, you know, and I think that's okay. You know, what I'm talking, and yes, it is okay to have things in the cloud and to be working off the cloud. But, you know, my mission is for people to create a family archive or, you know, and also a business archive, if you want to think of it that way. And so with that in mind, there are certain things that you do want to download on occasion, and even I would go so far as to say to print out, because again, if the cloud goes away or something happens with that service, now it probably won't or it may not in your lifetime, or you might get warning if it does in your lifetime so you can switch over to something else. But again, if we're thinking of things that we want to have for baby 2135. So one of the things that you have the encryption, which is great against hackers, but if, you know, something happened to you and people needed to access your stuff with that encryption, are they going to be able to do that? Now, the answer could be yes. You just need to think about it and plan for it. So I do have a chapter also on digital estate planning, because, you know, lawyers are aware of this today, and when you set up your will, they're going to ask you some questions. One of the biggest things, if people have access to your email, if you have different kind of passwords, they can reset it using your email. But if you have encryption software, like Dashlane or something like that, and they can get into your computer, but see, then they would need to be able to get into your computer as you so that they could even use that. So it's just little things that you want to think about that you're not really thinking about, or we typically don't. And, you know, I feel like, you know, in terms of a family archive, or we'll say a business archive, you know, you do want to digitize anything that is in paper form, we'll say analog, but you also want to print out things that are only digital, not everything, but certain critical things, even your photographs, you know, not all your photographs, because now we take photographs of everything so easily, but things that tell the story of your business or your family, you want to actually print them out, and you know, it's very easy to print them out,
right,
and it's cheap, so... and, you know, but people don't think of it, but, you know, things, if something happened to you and everything's digital, nobody has access to it, you know, so then
it's
not worth anything.
Right, right. Well, and even like I was talking about earlier with the encrypted files and everything for work, you know, there has to be some way of accessing the password. Other than, like, myself as the owner of the business in case something should happen, right? Because the companies are not permitted to allow somebody else to just access it.
That's correct. And actually, when people pass away and they have an executor closing their estate, if they have access to your email, their life is going to be so much easier. But the big three email providers, they all have different rules. You know, some of them will let you have access if you give them a death certificate. Others will not at all, ever, because it's correspondence, and they just consider it private. And, you know, it is, too. Like, maybe you don't want people. There are services out there, especially for businesses, that you can store things online. It's very secure. And if something did happen to you, they would, it would, they call it a dead man switch. They would pull the trigger and they would send information to whoever you designate to get it. So there are services. You just need to think about it and be aware of it and plan
for
it.
What are those services called? How would you, what would you search for?
I would, it would be, like a secure, file server. That's not it. Let me see if I can find it in my book. I don't have everything on the tip of my tongue.
That's okay. That's okay. We can come back to that. But again, this is really important to think about because even the executor piece, who's going to have access? What if somebody doesn't want their executor to have access to their email correspondence? You're saying that they would set it up so that certain things would be sent to the executor but not everything, or how's that work out?
Yes, that's exactly it. You would have certain things that were that are set up to go to your executor, and you can actually have set it up so that, you know, maybe everybody gets certain pictures, or say you want to send a digital letter to everybody. You know, you could have a list of people that you would send it to. Like the executor would get this, but somebody else would get something else.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, here
okay.
It is. Their digital, online digital estate planning services, or you could also look up legacy planning. And
legacy planning.
Online services.
Okay, that sounds good. We have to wrap up this show. Are there any final words of wisdom you want to leave us with today? And, again, I just want our listeners to know the name of your book. It's Five Things We Need to Know. I'm sorry, that's not the name of your book. That's our topic. Five Things You Need to Know About Digital Preservation is what we've been talking about today. And Rhonda's book addresses that, and it's called Secrets from the Stacks. An archivist reveals how to store, digitize, and preserve documents. So, as we wrap up, anything else you want to say? We only have a few seconds left.
Well, I think my final word would be to know that you are somebody else's ancestor, and that I think people are very self-deprecating at times, and it's like, don't be like that. Somebody is going to care about your life and what you experienced, and you should think of them and tell your story and keep your memories alive.
Thank you. That's very good advice. Thank you so much for being with us, Rhonda. Our listeners, buy the book, Secrets from the Stacks. Learn how to preserve your documents, all the things you need to store to create a family archive and also a business archive and leave a legacy behind. Thank you for being with us. And to my listeners, I'll be back next month. So be with us, be in good health and good cheer, and we look forward to being with you 30 days from now. Bye-bye.